Welcome to Pine Bluff Mayor Candidate Forum. I'm Pastor George Barnes, Pastor of Galilee Missionary Baptist Church. I'm going to introduce our participant. Our primary questioner is Mr. James Valley. Mr. Valley is a former mayor of the Consolidated Cities of Helena, West Helena, Arkansas. Mr. Valley is an attorney, participate in law and in Arkansas and Mississippi. He is also the host of the weekly radio program, News, Views, and Looking at the Law. I will now turn it over to Mr. Valley.
Thank you, Pastor Barnes, and welcome to the forum to each and all of you. Our mayoral candidates who are participating in this forum are the current mayor, Mayor Shirley Washington, Pine Bluff City Council Member Ivan Whitfield, and Pine Bluff City Council Member Stephen Mays. Again, we welcome each and every one of you to this forum and all of the listeners, and I thank Pastor Barnes, the mayor, and the members of the City Council for participating in this forum, and I thank Mr. Elijah Mundy, who will be producing this forum, and he's, of course, the owner of KJIW FM 94.5, serving the Mid-South, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, as well as KCAT AM 1340 right here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and Jefferson County. And so we appreciate Mr. Mundy. And as this forum goes forward, there will be up to 2-minute time limit for the candidates to answer questions, if necessary, 30-second rebuttal if any candidate chooses to do so. At the end of this forum, each candidate will be allowed to give a 1-minute closing statement. And at the beginning, we're going to have each candidate to take about a minute to introduce themselves. But before we do that, we call on Pastor Barnes to take us into prayer, please.
Father God, it's in your name we come with thanksgiving. Oh Lord, as we come today, we ask that whatever is done and said today will be to your glory and your honor. We ask you to direct our minds and our thoughts today, that you lead us and guide us in the way that you have us to go. It's in our Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And again, thank you, Pastor Barnes. I want to start out by asking each candidate to take a minute to introduce themselves. And we're going to start with Mayor Washington, followed by Councilmember Whitfield, and concluding with Councilmember Mays. So, Mayor Washington, if you will, introduce yourself to our audience, please.
I am Shirley Moorhead Washington, born and raised here in Arkansas. My parents had 7 children, and of those 7, I'm the only one who never left the state of Arkansas. I knew that I could never go any more than 1 hour from my home because somebody had to be near my parents, and I felt like that was my role since all my siblings had aspirations for going other places. I decided early on that I wanted to become an elementary school teacher because I wanted to go into a profession where I could find a job near home, but not only that, I loved what I was doing. After a 38-year in education, I started doing some things in government. Well, first started off building with my husband, went into construction, actually with him, and then I started doing some things with government, and after starting to work in that area, I was led to run for mayor, and as a result of a campaign, I was successfully elected the first black female mayor of Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Thank you, Mayor Washington. Councilman Whitfield, if you would introduce yourself, please.
Thank you. I'm Ivan Whitfield, born and raised in Helena, Arkansas. I left there in 1980, came to Pine Bluff, attended UAPB. Later on, I took an employment with the Pine Bluff Police Department, where I served 35 years, from a patrol officer through the ranks, retired 2 years ago as the chief of police in Pine Bluff. While there, I created some of the best children programs that any city or state close by to us. Upon my retirement, I ran for third ward alderman. I was blessed to make that third ward alderman, and now I serve there. Look forward to always, my motto has been, I'm a servant of the people, elected by the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Whitfield. Now, Alderman Mays, if you will, introduce yourself, please.
Thank you. Fourth Ward Alderman Stephen Mays. I'm in my third term on the Pine Bluff City Council. I love working for the city of Pine Bluff. I love working for the people of Pine Bluff. I'm the only candidate up here on this forum that was born and raised here in the city of Pine Bluff. I love Pine Bluff. I'm a graduate of UAPB. I'm a graduate of Pine Bluff High School. I don't plan on leaving Pine Bluff. I never have and never will. I stayed for the fight. I seen many years ago, I had a vision when I was 16 years old to get into politics in Pine Bluff. I stayed the course and I kept the faith. I want to help upgrade and improve the city of Pine Bluff after all of this time. With 40 years later, since I've been out of high school, it seems like we're going backwards. I want to be the one to upgrade, improve, rebuild, renew, and restore the city of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, with my leadership. Thank you.
All right. Before we get into the serious questions, I'd just like for you all to tell us your favorite football team, whether it's the Razorbacks, the Golden Lions, the Zebras, the Cardinals, or whoever that may be, if you all would indulge us in that.
It, clearly, everybody should just agree that the Dallas Cowboys is the best thing going.
Bro Mays, you have one?
Well, yes. I actually have two.
All right.
The first one is the Kansas City Chiefs. I've been
They just won the Super Bowl.
I know
right?
it, and I've been riding with them for the last 30 years. And,
all right.
And the next is UAPB, the Golden Lions. I'm a Golden Lions fan. I just love Pine Bluff, love what's going on. Just glad to be a part of it. But go Chiefs. Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. And they are in Missouri, right?
Right.
Not Kansas, as somebody said once. Mayor?
To be very frankly honest with you, I do not have a favorite football team, but I will say this. Many times when you're filling out applications and you have to give a security question, answer a security question, they'll ask you your favorite sports team.
Yes.
And for some reason, I always have to pick one that I know I'll always remember that I use, and it is the Cowboys.
All right. The Dallas Cowboys. That's all right. All right. Let's get to our first question, and it goes to the mayor. Mayor Washington, you've been in office for one term and have decided to run for reelection. Why did you decide to run for reelection, and why should citizens of Pine Bluff reelect you as their mayor? Do you believe that you have done a good job?
I am running for re-election primarily because there have been so many initiatives that we have started that I'd like to see through. Once I went into office, at first, you know, I wasn't sure whether I would run again or not. But as time moved and as we started opening doors and making gains in the things that we were accomplishing, I felt like I had to see those things through. And so we have so many things on the eve of breaking open right now. I would like for people to vote for me so that we can make these things become reality. I think that we have made a lot of gains in the city. I think that we are moving in the right direction. A lot of positive things are happening, and I'd like to see those things, a lot of those things that we've started, come to fruition and to see them through. Because I think that when you change leadership, sometimes you take a step back and you stop, things stop, and sometimes those things that were moving don't ever are never completed. But I think that we have an opportunity here to make some real things happen if we can stay another 4 years.
Yes, ma'am. And Mayor, you're saying that you do believe you've done a good job.
I do believe I've done a good job because one of the things that I promised people when I was running and what I promised everybody was that I didn't make any solid promises. I'll do this, that, or the other, but I will work hard. I'll give it my best. And that's what I've done. And that's what I hope to continue to do as we push this city forward.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilman Mays, why did you decide to run for mayor, especially if Mayor Washington has done a good job? If you were not running for mayor, could you support Mayor Washington's reelection bid?
Well, let me say this. I'm running because I was born and raised here. It was a lifelong dream of mine as a youngster, a teenager, to get into politics here. I've been reading about politicians in the newspaper for years. Many have tried different, just another direction, a direction. None have ever have brought us to the point of the people are satisfied in the city of Pine Bluff. As far as supporting the candidate, we answered that question the other day. I'm only going to support the one, a candidate, and I hope they support me as their next mayor. I like leaders who help youth or youth involved. And our youth are in bad condition in the city of Pine Bluff and all over the country. But Pine Bluff needs to be the catalyst, the start of changing the minds of our young people and making them feel like they know who they are. A lot of our young people don't know who they are. I have a heart for Pine Bluff. I want to lead Pine Bluff. I'm asking for just one opportunity to be the mayor. It's a lifelong dream of mine. I've been on the city council for 9 years, going on 10 years. I've been up on the three mayors. Ms. Washington is my third mayor. I drove in. You see the conditions of the city. The city is still terrible. Everything is, some things are moving, but the city, the neighborhoods and the streets and the atmosphere, and it's a dark cloud over the city of Pine Bluff that I want to move, upgrade, once again, rebuild, renew, and restore our great city back to what it used to be.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. And Mr. Whitfield, the same question to you. Why did you decide to run for mayor, especially if Mayor Washington has done a good job? If you were not running for mayor, could you support Mayor Washington's reelection bid?
I'm running for mayor because I've always said that I want to be a servant of the people. And from my retirement, I was third ward alderman. One of the things that led me to run for mayor was that I had a conversation with Ms. Washington. I served as her chief of police, and during that conversation, she said to me that God told her to run one time and go back into retirement. I later told her, don't say that because you may change your mind. She told me that she's not a mind changer. It's what God told her to do. Well, at that point, I said to her, if you're not going to run, then I'll run. So that was the start of my strategy to run at that point, and then later on, I found out that she had changed her mind. But I would say this, if I'm not the candidate, without a doubt, I have no problem supporting the mayor selection of the people. But I believe that my goal has been to be a servant. I've done that. I think we need a mayor. That's why I'm running. We need a mayor that's no longer going to allow people to run the city hall from the bank building, from Simmons building. And I'm able to do that. We need a mayor to understand the budget, and I'm able to do that. We need a mayor that understands the housing problems, and I'm able to understand that. So we need someone that's compassionate. They need a voice from the people, and that's important. So when you put those things together, I feel like it is time for a new mayor, and I hope I'm the choice.
Thank you, Councilman Whitfield. Now, the follow-up question is for you as well. It says, your brother, Sam Whitfield, is seeking a seat on the city council. If he is elected and you are elected, how will you deal with the perception of a conflict of interest, especially if he votes on matters involving your pay or your benefits? How would you deal with that?
That would have to come from him, because hopefully he would abstain from the vote. I would deal with him the way that I would deal with any other alderman, because he would have been elected by the people. I would not be in a position that I could treat him any different or give him any leeway that I would do to any other older woman or man that's on that council. So it, to me, it's not a issue of him voting on my package or whatever they may be, but surely he would be smart enough to say that he would recuse himself from a vote if it came to that.
Yes, sir. Mayor Washington, what is the state of the city of Pine Bluff financially? Is it in the red, in the black? Is the debt of the city greater than the income, which of course means the city is in the red? Can you tell us the state of the city of Pine Bluff financially?
Financially, the state of the city is very strong. We did get a rating from one of the financial analyst companies, and we had an A-plus rating at that time, and that was like just a few months ago. So we are very strong financially. I feel like we're on a course of really making things happen even better with some of the tax revenue that we have coming in at this time. We try not to overextend ourselves when it comes down to financial obligations, but we are very strong at this point.
All right. Councilman Whitfield, do you have any response to that?
No, I would have to agree that the financial stability seems to be good. I believe we're just not transparent enough. It could be better. What I mean by that is we have an opportunity to realign $4 million a year, and we have not taken that opportunity. So it's good now, but when that day come, when we need the fire truck that we've been told about for the year and a half, when that $1 million bill comes, the stability that we have now would be washed away, because we have given $4 million a year away without planning it. That's why I said earlier, you have to have a mayor that's not going to allow Simmons Bank to run the city of Pine Bluff from the bank. It has to be run from the mayor's office. So we must do something to maintain the stability by realigning that $4.3 million that we give to go forward every year.
All right. Councilman Mays, do you agree or disagree about the state of the city's financial?
The city is stable. Right, as of now, and once again, we get an extra $100,000 a month, which will average out to about $1.5 million a year from the casino. and at the same time, we need to plan more for our neighborhoods and our streets and our drainages. And once again, Go Forward Pine Bluff, which is Simmons Bank, they get $4.2 million a year to help run a program that a government they set up on side of our government. The bankers and the lawyers are controlling the mayor's office. I am not going to give up my power and authority. I think Ms. Washington gave up her authority to the Go Forward initiative. I'm not going to walk in their shoes. They're going to walk up on our government. You got two governments pulling on each other. And the city of Pine Bluff is a stronger government. And we need a leader that's going to stand up to them and not give them money to go down there and party once a year and then have a basketball tournament when you're getting $4.2 million a year, every year. And in 7 years, that's over $30 million to a government on side of our government. And that's wrong. And the taxpayers continue to need to be aware of that. I've been trying to tell them all the time. We should have took the tax out ourselves. You don't let bankers go do that. The first thing Ms. Washington said when she was elected is, I don't know what I'm doing. You don't tell men, rich men, that. You know, I will not give them up on me. I will continue to, they will come to my office and we'll meet. Because I'll be the CEO, the chairman of the board of the city of Pine Bluff. And that's what we're going to do.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mayor Washington, would you like to rebut either of those statements?
I don't know why he's saying, I told rich men that I don't know what I'm doing. When I never told anybody I didn't know what I was doing. I did say that I'm not a politician, and I didn't tell the people at Simmons Bank or anybody that. That was just a blank statement that I made once upon a time, I guess you might say. But as far as giving up my authority, I have never done that. I do work with the Go Forward initiative. I do work with that because I think it's a strong public-private partnership, and I think it's helping to move our city forward. I was part of that before I became a mayor. I saw the initiative was asking for people to sign up to be part of that. I didn't know what it was all about. Once I signed up, I thought it was a good move for the city, a good public-private partnership, and I think it's making a difference. When the tax was promoted, there were certain pillars that were put in place, and there were certain initiatives that it was going to fund, and I think we're moving together, working together as a team, and I think it's a pretty diverse team, and it is making a difference in the city. As far as giving up my authority, I don't think I've ever done that, because I'm not that person who's just going to be a rubber stamper. I'm going to make sure that if it's not, I feel that it's not best for all the people, I'm going to make it known that it's not best for all of the people and stand up for what's best for all the people, because I want to represent my people and represent them well. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we do things that hope that and we are held accountable and that we are moving our city forward. Pine Bluff had a long way to go, and I think that we are making a positive difference.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Councilman Mays, since you're running as a candidate for mayor, if elected, what would you do differently from Mayor Washington to make Pine Bluff a growing, prosperous city?
Well, I will go into each ward. We have to do more than just go to represent each ward. I'm the fourth ward alderman, and what I've been doing since I've been elected is unifying the people, giving the people hope. Our city looks so bad when people come out of the house, they look around, it's gloomy all the time, the drainages. I would find all of the water that's sitting on these streets because the basins up underground, our infrastructure up under the ground is not working. It's stopped up with leaves, cups, paper, and all that. We really have to attack that before we go out there and spend $1 million, $5, $10 million on the drainage. We had to do a lot of it ourselves through our street department. Our street department has not really cleaned out those basins up under the ground to catch all the trash and the leaves and things like that. And you can drive through the city and there's puddles of water just sitting by a drain it takes 3 or 4 days to drain out. And that's unreal. You can't even wash your car in the city of Pine Bluff, clean it up real good, and by the time you drive around town, in an hour, it's back dirty. I mean, most cities have street sweepers. We got street sweepers. They do a good job of street sweeping. But we have to make sure our drainages are a lot better and our unity in our communities. I want people coming outside the houses, planting flowers and not being scared of the thugs in the neighborhood, somebody doing a drive-by. I want people to talk up and to speak up. You really, really unify the city. I mean, if as a leader, I'm going to be in the neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Mays. Councilman Whitfield, same question. Since you're running as a candidate for mayor, if elected, what would you do differently than Mayor Washington to make Pine Bluff a growing, prosperous city?
The first thing I would do is have a plan of action to educate our citizen. What has happened now is that we're looking at a 3-year plan while the power to be is working on a 20-year plan. So we must understand that any investment we do now would take an effect over the next 20 years. What I also would do is say to our citizen, we've been misled that the casino is going to fix all of our ill wills. I would say to them that we must bring some other entities in to make sure that all the tax money does not go to the casino. We must have other entities to draw tourism to our city. We have a major black institution here, and we must have something other than the casino to bring other people to our community. I would enhance public safety first and foremost. If people don't feel safe, they're not going to come to our city. The other thing that I would do is one of the problems we've always had when it comes to economic development, the city of Pine Bluff is never at the table at the first meeting. I would hire a economic development specialist to make sure we're well represented and we can help small business maintain to be in our keeping them here and also recruit other restaurants to come to our community. There are so many things that we need to do first and foremost that we have to work on. So I would do a combination of those and with hope that tax revenue will be spread out. We'll work with our youth and make sure they have something to do because we all talk about we'll get elected and we never bring things to the forefront for our youth. I will be considered that as the mayor for the youth as well.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. Mayor Washington, this question goes to you first. What is the state of crime and safety in the city of Pine Bluff? Are the citizens safe and secure? If someone wanted to move to Pine Bluff and become a citizen, do they have the assurance of moving to a safe and secure city?
I would say yes, they would have the security of moving to a safe city. As we all know, crime is a major factor in any city, in any country in America at this time. But I feel that we have a proactive police department working diligently to improve the crime stats. And as we look at the crime statistics on a monthly basis here in Pine Bluff, they are improving. January, our crime rate was down by 25% in some areas. We have put a police substation in Central Pine Bluff. And before we put that substation there, we did have a high rate of crime in Central Pine Bluff, and most of that was driven by young people. But since that station has been there, we've seen that crime rate of crime in that area be reduced dramatically. We have been doing things to promote public safety. We bought new radios. We're putting in new computers in the cars right now. This year, with the cars we purchased last year and this year, we will purchase 22 new police cars. We have new Narcan kits, and our police officers have been trained. We've just given them new, we had a grant that we wrote, and we just gave the police officers new body cams. So far, the crime rate for this month is drastically improved so far. For the month of February, if we just look at it. So I think that we were just last week, if you looked at last Saturday's paper, we were listed as the 29th safe city in the state of Arkansas, and that was phenomenal for Pine Bluff. Out of the 35 cities in the state that they listed in that report, Little Rock was number 35, but Pine Bluff was up to number 29, and that says a lot for us and where we're going with working to reduce crime. So I'd say our police department is very proactive rather than reactive, and I think that's very important. They are recruiting new officers. We gave raises so that we can retain and hire new officers as we move forward.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilman May, same question. What is the state of crime and safety in the city of Pine Bluff? Are the citizens safe and secure? And if someone wanted to move to Pine Bluff and become a citizen, do they have the assurance of moving to a safe and secure city?
Well, what I want to do is clean up the city and make it safe. I got a call just the other day. The state of the Chief Sergeant, Chief Whitmore, Assistant Chief, doing a good job. I called them personally on some issues just last week. It was a drive-by. We still have drive-bys here. You got burglaries in the neighborhoods. Some of the people, the neighborhood watch groups, I want to work with the neighborhood watch group. Well, I do. If they have a problem, if they know somebody in the neighborhood that's committing crime, I want to know. We need to go talk to this gangster. Most of these guys are in these gangs. I want to do a upgrade our gang activity, surveillance. A lot of these guys, really, they don't know who they are, these youngsters, teenagers, and they're going to break into somebody's house. I mean, we don't buy stuff for them to go take it. And I want to know, put it in my hand, who is in the neighborhood doing all this? It's just somebody in the neighborhood don't want to work, don't want to do the right thing, but they want to steal from others in the neighborhood who work hard. As your mayor of the city of Pine Bluff, I want to know who that is. I want to talk to them. That's not what they're waking up going to steal something. That's not a life. That's not a life. We're going to change that. Give them an identity of knowing who they are, what can they do for themselves. You just don't buy stuff and somebody break in your house and get it. That's the wrong attitude to have. I want to change it as mayor. I'm going to do my best to change it. The other day, like I said, the lady had a drive-by in the neighborhood. I addressed it. She texted me. She called me. I immediately contacted the leaders in the police department, and we start handling it. I mean, I don't want our people here to be unsafe while they're here. I won't bring somebody in if the people here are feeling unsafe. The lady was crying. Her husband was upset. They was crying. But I got to the source. I talked with the homeowner, what used to be the homeowner of the house, and you know, we get into the bottom of it. But I want to be the leader to solve the crime, to make things happen constantly, consistently. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield, same question. What is the state of crime and safety in the city of Pine Bluff, and are the citizens safe and secure? And if someone wants to move to Pine Bluff and become a citizen, do they have the assurance of moving to a safe and secure city?
I'm going to go on record and saying, yes, you move to Pine Bluff, you will be safe and secure. We have incidents like any other city, but I will say to you that I personally know Chief Sergeant, and he know how I am. I would not be happy that we are 29th out of 35 on the safety of cities. I would like for us to be in the top 10, so I will be pushing to make sure whatever it takes that we get there. I believe that we must equip our officers with the equipment to make it safe and contain it. One of the problems that we've had, we talked earlier about radios that we purchased, and one of the problems is, and people have to understand this, is that when the mayor said we purchased radios, we had $4 million. We gave it to go forward, and then we went to Simmons, and they gave us money. They lent us some money to buy some radios. That's absolutely crazy. We should have bought radio with some of the $4.3 million before we gave it away. So we're selling wolf cookies to our citizen, and in a couple of years from now, it's going to explode because we're going to be so far in debt with Simmons and other bankers that we'd never come out the hole. I'm saying we must do something, and we must align it the right way while we have a chance. Safety, I've always said, first and foremost, I will give them. But until we get into the homes of our community, safety is always going to be questioned. We can reduce the crime by getting to the homes and dealing with our youth first and foremost.
Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. Mayor Washington, as we talk about safety and security in a community or a city, one of the important components is the need for a saturated police strategy in terms of patrolling. That means you have to have sufficient police personnel to do this. Is the present size of the police department in Pine Bluff sufficient to do saturated strategic patrolling? And if not, how many more officers are needed to achieve this?
I just had a conversation with our chief about that not too long ago. And what they do when they want to do those saturated patrols is that they move people from certain divisions around to make sure that they have enough officers to make that happen. I think right now they need to hire approximately 9 to 10 officers to have what they need to make it happen. But until it happens, they do move people where they need to from different units to make it happen. But I think that overall they're doing a good job working with who they have. They are recruiting right now. They interviewed some officers recently, and of those interviews, I think they're going to hire 6 of those that they interviewed just last week. And so that's going to enable them to be able to do more of a saturation when it comes down to patrol. And he has been addressing that area very aggressively. I feel like overall we're doing well. The chief said he wouldn't be happy with us being 29, but that was a time when we were at the bottom. And so when we're 29 from 35, we are at least moving up, and I think he'll agree with that. That we are moving up, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mays, the same question. Do you need me to repeat it?
Yes, repeat it.
All right. As we talk about safety and security in a community or a city, one important component is the need for a saturated strategy of police patrolling. That means you have to have sufficient police personnel to do this. Is the present size of the police department in Pine Bluff sufficient to do saturated strategic patrolling? And if not, how many more officers are needed to achieve this?
I believe we have enough with hiring the ones that are missing off the employment right now in the police department. What I want to do is, I think it's a 3-minute call time for police to get there. What I want to do in each ward, add at least 3 or 4 more policemen, detectives, or vice in the wards to reduce that time to it take to get to a crime scene. When somebody is shooting a gun across town, the neighbors hear it. But by the time the police get there, the person who's shooting the gun up in the air, or drive-by, whatever's going on, a criminal activity, is done by the time they get there. More, at least, saturate each ward with officers, different departments overlapping in the ward to reduce that time so that when a crime happens, I mean, the officers will be coming in at the same time, in 24/7. We have to add more officers in the neighborhoods, and the police in the community needs to see them more. They need to see them a lot more. You got a black and white car; you need to be seen. The police need to wave at the people coming through the neighborhoods, let them know they're close by. So if anything happened, like I say, the time of reduction to get to these crime scenes. We got to do that. We got to do that as quick as possible. Upon my leadership, we'll do it. I love Pine Bluff, been here all my life, born and raised in the city of Pine Bluff. I want to make it better. I want to upgrade our resources here. We can do a lot better. And upon my leadership, we will do a lot better. I want to renew, rebuild, and restore the city of Pine Bluff. Like I say, come in here, you look around, water's everywhere. Most of it is just stopped up drainages in the neighborhoods. We got to do better. We must do better, and we will do better with my leadership. All I'm asking for is just one opportunity to lead the city of Pine Bluff. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield, as we talk about safety and security in a community or a city, one of the important components is the need for a saturated strategy of police patrolling. That means you have to have sufficient police personnel to do this. Is the present size of the police department in Pine Bluff sufficient to do saturated strategic patrolling? And if not, how many officers are needed to achieve this?
I would say that the present size can handle that. But if you're going to be proactive in law enforcement, you must maintain the advantage. People, you have to remember, in law enforcement, people respect authority that's equal or greater. And this year alone, we cut the police department by 10 slots. And I thought that was very dangerous of us in these times when you take 10 slots out of the police department. We did it because we wanted to give them a raise. One of the things I said to them, I did not want to erase it because they need those slots back. I just believe that one of the things that when I become mayor, that we would do is take those slots and make them into cadets. We have a problem with recruitment. What if you hire a young man, if you hire a young lady at the age of 18 and 19 and give them some things to do and let them work around the police department, I believe by the time they get 21, you don't have to do a background check on them because they've already employed with you. So I believe if we can maintain what we have upon giving the 10 back, I think that was, I want to make sure I go on record letting you know, I just say we must give those back in the years to come because you must stay atop of law enforcement. You cannot decrease it and think you're going to maintain it for years to come. We no longer can just plan from year to year. We must have a 5 to 10 year plan, and that's that part of that is bringing it back to the forefront.
All right. Thank you, Alderman Whitfield. Mayor Washington, are the salaries of the Pine Bluff police officers competitive with other comparable cities to hire and keep police officers? And also, is the level of pay for city workers comparable to cities like Pine Bluff? If not, is there a plan to fix it?
Well, we did a comparative study that was done by the Municipal League of Arkansas. It showed that we were considerably lower in pay than any other city in the state of Arkansas, than most cities, and especially most cities of our size and some less. So we realized that we had to do something to fix that. And so this year we did increase salaries. Those 10 slots that were cut from the police department were actually 10 slots that had not been filled in many years, not since I've been there. Even when we cut those 10, we still had about 10 or 11 that were unfilled slots that we still are hiring to fill in. And yes, the conversation is in place to replace those 10 slots. I don't think we ever cut them to let them stay where they are. We are doing a salary analysis. We just sent in the proposal to have the salary analysis done across the city for salaries in all positions to see where we compare with other cities of our size and population across the state. And then from that, as our revenue increases, and hopefully it will increase, we'll try to adjust salaries to as near the average in our area and for those comparable cities as we possibly can. But we are looking at that. Yes. All right.
And does the city of Pine Bluff have an internal minimum wage, a minimum amount you pay any employee? I know state law is $10 an hour.
Actually, what they look at is a living wage. We've always looked at nothing lower than the living wage. But right now, everybody is pretty much a little higher than the living wage. Okay. That was always, when I came in, that was the minimum. The living wage was the lowest you could pay any employee. But we have everybody above the living wage now.
All right. Alderman May.
I feel like the salaries are going. We just gave some raises in January coming into 2020. We want to do more for our police officers and our employees. I mean, there's always room for improvement. There's always room to make others work better and care more about the city. I'm a strong believer in if you live in the city of Pine Bluff, you love the city of Pine Bluff, and you'll do better. I'm a strong believer in that. Our police officers, I believe that they should drive their cars home, you know, to get out of their pockets and save. Their cars will be driving through the neighborhoods, and then they're saving money, their car parked. Then we need housing for our police officers. Some of these abandoned homes, some of these lots, we need to help them build houses. We need to do our own Habitat for Humanity within our churches to help our police officers. We got to help one another a lot more. I found out that the more you help people, the better off you. God will bless you back. At the same time, some people help others more than themselves, and they wear themselves out. It's got to be balanced, you know. Some people you look to push everybody else but except yourself. You're not reaching your own goals, but your goal should be to help Pine Bluff be a better city, whatever it takes in your neighborhood. I want each church to expand 4 blocks east, 4 blocks south, 4 blocks north to help each other in the community, help the people that are living in the community to come up. We got to have hope. People are losing their smiles around here. I want to bring hope back in here, help bring hope back to the people of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. But, yes, I want to do all we can to make our police officers, to give them a chance to live here and to walk in their neighborhoods. All that will be able to give them more raises down the road. you know, a happy community is a better self-serving, a better service to others in the community. Walk your neighborhoods. Feel good about it.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield?
Thank you. I want to first go on record saying that that was a two-part question. Our non-uniform has been overlooked for so long. I'm a product of the police department, so I'll talk about that in a minute. Simmons Bank probably holds some $35 million of non-uniform retirement money. Been there for years, and but no one has said to Simmons or to those that oversee the money, why can't they have a plan like the police department has, police officers, that if you you stay 20 years and then you can go on to a drop plan. That's what we do at the police department. Non-uniform, nobody has ever addressed that, and we must get to the point that we try to keep some of the knowledge around at the right time. When it comes to the police department and the fire department, in order to be progressive, you've got to get a solid pay scale for them. That's the only way you can maintain, recruit, and make it work. Without a real pay scale, it's going to hurt you in the long run. You'll give a little bit now, but then 10 years, they're still sitting in the same spot. There may be a 15 cents per year increase. Until you wipe that out and bring it up to where they need to be, you're always going to have a problem with recruiting people coming through and leaving. So I believe it needs to be a combination of both, and we must work on a plan to utilize our tax money better to make sure that everybody can enjoy some of the wealth. But this would never be done if we keep the same people with the same ideas. This is a different millennium. These young people need to know that we're thinking about them and their future, not just for us right now. And that's why I said that a change needs to happen.
All right, one quick follow-up, a drop plan. You mentioned that. Make sure our audience know what a drop plan is.
A police officer is required to serve 28 years, and then he or she can retire and have a check the rest of their life. Or when you make that 28 years or become 55, whichever comes first, you can get what they call the drop plan. It's like a savings account for you. They'll save X amount of dollars per month, and you can't get that until you retire. Now, you can stay on the drop plan probably for another 7 years, 5 to 7 years. And at the end of your drop time, you'll be able to withdraw that and the money that they save for you.
You better draw that as a lump.
As a lump sum.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to explain that to the audience. Now, we got a follow-up question here. Why would it be a good idea for police officers to take their vehicles home? And we'll let the mayor start with that. Okay. Would that be a good idea? And if so, why?
I think it's an excellent idea because I think it increases the visibility of police cars in neighborhoods, which increases safety, the comfort level of citizens. They feel like they're safe. So if a police is on off duty and he needs to go to the grocery store, he could drive that car to the grocery store, and that's going to put more police presence in the environment. It'll make it look like you have more police in that environment at that grocery store or a church, or going to the dry cleaners or in the streets, period. The first city I went to and they were doing this was Lexington, Kentucky, where my sister lived. And I mean, in every neighborhood, every apartment complex, there were police cars throughout the community. And the crime rate was very low. And if you look at the patrol people that do, the number of officers that you have on patrol, it's very doable because you don't have to buy as many cars as I first thought. I did a little research on that. And so it's something that I think that we should work toward doing. I think, as I said, it increases that visibility of that appearance of police officers in every area of the community, which would lead to the reduction of crime.
All right. Mr. Mays, we would follow up on that.
I love to see police cars in the community, in the neighborhoods. You know, kids and youth and teenagers running up to the car, talking with the police officers. You know, just bring back that community policing like it started out. I always said that. It once again, it brings visibility in the neighborhood. And then again, the police officer might be in the yard washing his car or getting out, walking in the yard, and a call may come through on the radio, just and he's ready to go right then. And the criminal activity is about a minute from where he lives at. You know, it's always being proactive. I'm a proactive guy. I like to make things happen now. I'm a now guy. Once again, you see that car, and you a lot of people in Pine Bluff got their blinds closed all the time. If it's a police car in the yard or neighborhood, people going to always have their blinds open, looking out to see any criminal activity and see what's going on, which is a good thing. That's part of the unity that I want to upgrade in the city of Pine Bluff. Once again, people feel safe, police car, they knowing their neighbor going to drive home when the little criminal activity down the street is, and know that people are watching now. And then that police officer can be a part of the neighborhood watch group, and you don't have to bring other officers in off out of each other ward to come, because that officer will be assigned to that neighborhood watch program. Neighborhood watch programs are good as well. A lot of our senior citizens, when I started out having neighborhood watch probably about 15 years ago before I became a councilman, a lot of these neighborhood watch members were younger. Now they were younger, and now they're older. Now we got to have young people to come in and replace them. But a lot of the young people don't understand the value of their neighborhoods. And then some of them fear in their neighborhood, and it shouldn't be like that. Your neighborhood should be safe, loving, kind, and friendly. You should be able to walk to church in your neighborhood. You know, you should be able to skip down the road to church carrying your Bible in your hand on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
With no fear.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield, why would it be a good idea for police officers to take their patrol vehicle home?
I think it's an excellent idea. We actually have done some of that in the past. There are some positive and there are some negative to that, because sometimes if you don't understand the art of police work, when you're at home, you just can't jump in that car and go to a scene. There's some things you have to give in consideration if that child is home with you, or if you have had a sip 3 hours ago, and then you want to know why he or she didn't respond. Now, we had it situated some years ago that if you was in the police car, you had to have your radio on and prepare it to respond. So the concept of itself is a great concept, but it's one that we must first be committed to buy quite a few more cars, because there's a big need. It could work, but we got to be committed to buying more vehicles, because we have not just patrol officers. You have your detective division, your vice division, you have your service division, and they all live in the city. So how do you discriminate against one and not the other one? So myself, I do believe it's a great idea. We tried it. There was not enough vehicles. But if the mayor and the council is agreeable to buy those vehicles that's needed, I think it's workable as soon as we can get it.
Thank you. This question is going to begin with Mayor Washington. We're asking our timekeeper to cut it to 1 minute on this. I'm not commenting on what anybody has done, but I just don't think this will take a long time to respond to. Mayor Washington, Mr. Mays has talked about street flooding in Pine Bluff. Can you address that?
Yes. We do have some flooding issues in Pine Bluff, but we have to realize, number one, Pine Bluff is very flat. The terrain is flat, so water is not going to drain as fast as it would if we were in a hilly terrain. But we have drains that are in need of cleaning. Councilmember Whitfield had an initiative that would put $1 million into drainage. But with the problems that we have in Pine Bluff, and we've looked at drainage, $1 million would be like pouring a teaspoon of water on a burning fire scraper right now. It wouldn't be nearly anything to touch it. You wouldn't do a good block, because we've looked at that. And so as we've looked at the drainage, we brought in a drainage assessment company to come in and do an assessment of our drains. The main drain in the city is the Harding drain, and then there are about four other drains that lead off that drain. And the cleaning, the assessment, we have had that, and that's the main thing that we have to do. But you have to have a guide to do the cleaning. So to do that, that's what we're getting ready to do next. And then from getting it clean, we're looking for grant dollars and resources that we can use toward adjusting, you know, and working on these drainage issues.
Thanks.
And that's major and very important, that we will be moving forward aggressively to making that happen.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mays. You've already, I guess, talked about the flooding, so we're going to Mr. Whitfield.
Thank you. The mayor did mention that I put a piece of legislation together for $1 million in drainage, but she failed to say it did pass, but she repealed and she didn't replace it. She called it a repeal and replace, but it was, in fact, repealed. And the strange thing about it was they always talk about $1 million not much money. Their own survey that the mayor sent out for, when it came back, it was a $1.7 million startup. No matter what you do to our drainage, $1.7 million has to be cleaned out. I had said set $1 million aside. She repealed it after it passed. We gave the money away. Had we kept the $1 million, we would be $700,000 away from cleaning our drainage, which is the first step we must do. But because she gave it away, now we have no money in drainage, and we must wait for somebody else to come and bail us out. That's why I'm saying. But that came from down on Main Street.
All right. Mayor, we'll give you 30 seconds to rebut if you need it.
We are moving forward with the cleaning of the drain, sir. And that money will be found to finance that drain issue. So the cleaning, we haven't gotten the assessment back yet. But once we get that back, we'll be moving forward to the cleanup process. Then moving in forward to repairing drainage.
All right. Let me do a station ID at this point. This is the Pine Bluff Mayoral Candidates Forum. I am James Valley, attorney out of Helena, West Helena, practicing law in Arkansas, Mississippi. We have here in the studio Mayor Shirley Washington, Councilmember Ivan Whitfield, and Councilmember Stephen Mays. Each of them are vying for the office of mayor of the city of Pine Bluff. Election day is March the 3rd, 2020, and early voting is going on right now. And so at this point, we'll go to our next question, which involves the Pine Bluff Urban Renewal Agency, which has bought the Plaza Hotel in Pine Bluff for $1.2 million and is looking for a quality brand hotel to operate it. The five-story, 200-unit, 175,000-square-foot Plaza Hotel opened in 1988 as the Wilson World Hotel, but has fallen into disrepair and will need to be renovated. This could take a lot of money and can be very financially taxing to the city of Pine Bluff and a challenge to operate it. With the need for money for good salaries for police officers, fire department, and city workers, and other pressing things that need to be done, is this investment for the hotel wise if it comes at the expense of all of those city workers and other pressing needs? So the question, I guess we'll go with you, Brother Mays.
Thank you. Good question. Six years ago, as a council member, I proposed to buy that hotel for $500,000, $500,000 through the city council. The city council rejected that offer. Now it went up to $1.2 million and it sold, okay? I didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. Now I'm senior councilman now. That hotel, it's people coming in Pine Bluff buying buildings and things like that and just sitting on them. They didn't come here with the intention of doing anything with them. And that's what they did with the Plaza Hotel. Now, to redo that hotel, estimated at $10 million, okay? Now, if it's going to be a quality hotel, you're going to have to spend $20,000 a room, to get it up to quality, at least $20,000 per room. Those hotel rooms are not cheap to build. It's like a house. And you want to go in and build up one, it's got to be top-notch, got to be perfect if you're going to have people living in there. But you got to go at least $15,000 to $20,000 per room in order to get a quality hotel to buy into it. Now, the taxpayers don't need to spend $10 million on that hotel. I am not supporting any more bond money to pay on anything in Pine Bluff from Simmons Bank. Everybody want to come put bonds on City of Pine Bluff, and the young people, what we're dealing with now, cannot sustain those bonds 30 years from now.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield.
Thank you. Let me first say this, that Alderman Mays mentioned that he sponsored that legislation, but he failed to tell the citizens that he withdrew that piece of legislation. So you can't sponsor it, and then you personally withdrew it. The record will reflect that's what he did. Purchase of the hotel, I feel like when the Maryland purchased the hotel through Urban Renewal, which they used taxpayers' money, the issue and concern was it serves no purpose now because we need $8 to $10 million to be repaired. They told us on the record that somebody came in and wanted to buy the hotel, but they asked him how much would you, and repair it. How much would you rent the room for? The man told them $79, $89, something in that area. They said that's not enough. Well, I say that they're going to set the city up for failure. We have a hotel coming here with a casino. Sunday through Thursday, the average room is $49. So if you put a hotel downtown Pine Bluff, that's going to be $119. Nobody would go there. They're going to go to the casino hotel. We must come up with a plan to direct our people back to our local small business, even with our own local hotels. Thank you.
Mayor Washington.
First off, I don't know where you got the amount from that the hotel said that they would rent their rooms for. We felt that it was important that the hotel was in the hands of responsible property owners. And at the time, we didn't think they were. And this company who was coming in, they were not going to do any renovation. They were going to rent the rooms for $29 a night. I don't know where $79 came in from, but it was $29 a night. And we've seen what happens, and I think that's what had happened with the previous owner when Mr. May said that he could have bought the hotel for maybe $500,000, and the council didn't agree to buy it. I don't know about the pulling of the legislation and all that because I wasn't in this arena at that time. But I do know that we wanted that hotel is the lifeblood of our convention center. It's connected to the convention center. And as we build Pine Bluff and brand Pine Bluff and make Pine Bluff more of a destination city, I don't think everybody who will come into Pine Bluff would want to stay at the casino hotel. And if casino hotel rents their rooms for what they rent them for at Downstream, they won't be $100 a night. I don't think they're going to do that. They may, but I don't see it. Those rooms were like more like $200 a night. So we're looking for an operator who will come in and brand the hotel and operate that hotel for us. And we hope to have bookings at our convention center. There will be people who will book conventions and who will not want to stay at a casino hotel. So we want to make this more of a family-oriented hotel. We have an aquatic center that's right across the road from it. If you go down that convention center drive, our baseball parks end up, the softball fields are down there. We have regional park down there. We have a golf course there. We're hoping to bring in more golf tournaments, swim meets, baseball tournaments, events downtown, and that will bring life to that hotel. Not only that, but the sports events and other concerts and events that we will have in the convention center will make that a viable hotel that will even serve the university in partnership. So we think that we just needed a good property owner there, so it'll be a convention center hotel, and it'll draw more venues.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Now, casinos are in the business to make money, lots of money. In order for casinos to make a lot of money, a lot of people have to lose a lot of money. You may see some economic benefits that can bump up the community economics for a degree and for a limited time, but there are also side effects. And one of the side effects of the casino is people losing money, and it can be unhealthy and devastating for people. Those side effects would be gambling addiction, foreclosures, repossessed cars, suicides, casino-related drunk driving, resulting in possible deaths, broken families, broken marriages, possible increase in crime, and much more. Not only that, but with people being victimized or losing money, they may not have to spend it in other businesses, therefore hurting those businesses. There's also a possibility the casinos could shut down, creating a real negative impact on the government that's relying on the revenues from the casinos, like what's presently happening in Tunica County, Mississippi. The question is, did all of you present leaders, along with other leaders, discuss those negative potential fallouts? And if you did, what plans did you come up with to deal with all of these negative fallouts? Is Pine Bluff prepared for that? The question is Pine Bluff prepared for any negative fallout that may come from the casino's closing? Mr. Whitfield.
Are we on a one-minute time or 2 minutes?
We can go back to 2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Let me answer the question. I believe Pine Bluff is, in fact, prepared for it. At one time, we had only the mental health center here, but now we also have what they call the PAT center here that does counseling and those kind of things that will help people when they have problems. But the big issue with the casino is what I said earlier, is that we must bring some other things to our community so the casino does not take all the taxpayers' money.
Yes.
We must come up with a plan of action to make sure tourism come not just to gamble when they come to Pine Bluff. That's how you defeat that. But it's important for the council and the mayor to figure out what we can do and not rely on the people on Main Street to tell us. The next issue is this. We lost an opportunity to solve some problems, and the mayor went on record and said this. She said to the Arkansas Gazette that I'm not a politician, I'm an educator. Up in Polk County, they're looking at $30 to $50 million when the day that they sign their license over. We got nothing. We got nothing in our community. We could have built a recreational center. We could have, every police officer could have had a car. We gave the license away. So we're going in it backwards. Well, Polk County, when they get their money, when they get their casino, they would have $40 million to invest in their community. And I believe we have failed the people tremendously. We cannot survive by doing things like that. That's where the problem with the casino came in. We should have made them invest into our community and took that money and built, clean out the drainage, build up our drainage. We should have taken that money and bought the police cars. We should have taken that money and built a recreation center for our children. We failed to do it, and that's going to hurt us for years to come. So, yes, it will be a big impact for years to come.
Mayor.
The
question is, did all of you present leaders, along with other leaders, discuss the negative potential fallouts of the casino? And if you did, what plans did you come up with to deal with all the negative fallouts? Is Pine Bluff prepared for that?
Well, we did talk about that. It's much like what Councilmember Whitfield just said. We talked about building the city up as the casino came in so that there would be other draws to make Pine Bluff that destination city. So they're not coming in just for a casino, but they're coming in for other resources that we have to offer people. Polk County is talking about bringing in a casino. They haven't gotten the $40,000 or any of that. One of the things that we don't know that Polk County is going to do, whether it'll be in the county or in the city, one of the guarantees that we were asking was that our casino be in the city limits, because our city taxes is much greater than the county tax. So we are getting that revenue from the casino. Plus, there are some other things that they're going to be doing in our city. I feel like they're going to run that aggressive bus route, so hopefully the people who are going there for entertainment won't just come from Pine Bluff per se, but they're coming from other areas as well. I feel like also most of our citizens, even though you know that whenever you have gaming of this type, you might have some people who may develop habits, may have problems, but I think overall most of Pine Bluff is intelligent enough, strong enough to know how to go in, have some fun, and go home. And I feel like hopefully, you know, we hope our citizens, our community won't suffer. We think the positive benefits will outweigh the negative benefits. At least that's our goal. If we were just building our city and just had nothing there and weren't building the city around before this casino came in, I think we'd really be in trouble. But right now, I think that, as I said, I think the positive benefits will outweigh the negative benefits. And the fact that they are in the city limits gives us the city taxes, whereas if they were in the county, the city wouldn't benefit from that.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mays?
Now, I've been to the casino myself. I've been here. I'm pretty sure they got a casino card as well. But as far as the tax money goes, I want people to go spend their money, but at the end of the day, hit cash out and get out of there. Don't just sit there and start crying because you lost all your rent money and all your car note money. But they got to learn how to hit cash out and get out of there. Okay, good place, good people. I feel like back to Gamblers Anonymous is something good. some people will get addicted to it, just like that we got some people that get addicted to the drugs and alcohol. We have places for them, and the city of Pompey need more places for Gamblers Anonymous. I've had somebody call me last week. A lady lost her house note sitting up in there. You know, but I wasn't there. But I'm saying I'd been there a couple of times. I had some people in town. I took them to see what it was. But I tell them, you won, hit cash out. Don't just sit there and put the money you won back in there when you got a bill due. But don't just sit there and just get consumed with it like everything else. It's like alcohol and drugs. We still combating those in the community. Now we got a gambling addiction on people. Addictions control people. If you want to be controlled by an addiction, the best way to stop it, to quit, is just stop it. And you got to have a strong mind, a strong willpower to do that. And once again, I encourage people, hit cash out. Just fight the spirit of putting money, feeding the machine. But go to the casino, enjoy yourself. It's part of Pine Bluff. But hit cash out. Don't just sit there and lose everything you got. You know, but back to Pine Bluff, God has always had Pine Bluff in his hand, and we're going to sustain anything that comes our way. I'll be cutting a lot of waste out of city government when I become your next mayor. When I become your next mayor, I'll be cutting a lot of waste out of the budget to continue to keep us focused and in the black.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield, downtown Pine Bluff is like a ghost town. The Pine Bluff Mall has a lot of problems and is not full as it could be. Several different owners have not been able to turn it around. One of the reasons for this usually in small cities is the Walmart factor. Wherever Walmart is located, many people are going to flock there. Therefore, businesses are going to want to locate near Walmart where they can be in the flow of the people. That has hurt the downtowns in some, especially smaller cities. It appears to be a factor also here in Pine Bluff. How do you revitalize downtown Pine Bluff or the mall, with the Walmart location being where it is and the prospects for businesses not likely to want to come to a dead downtown or to a mall that's not attracting a lot of people?
I believe when you're dealing with the mall, it is privately owned and you have your hands tied. But I believe you must try to develop a working relationship with the owner in hopes of getting her to comply to make it attractive to business to come there. If not, we have what we call city codes that should have been enforced months ago or a year ago to make sure that it's done that way. So that would be on the back of the city if it does not meet the standard. But you have to have a good working relationship. When it comes to downtown Pine Bluff, those buildings have been neglected for so long, and that most of them are historical buildings that they say you can't tear down. It is in a havoc of a terrible way. I believe the worst thing we're doing is we'll continue to invest the taxpayers' money. We spent somewhere between $10 and $12 million on a new library downtown, and we had a library that we could have revamped. Where's that? But we're using taxpayers' money downtown in the wrong way. I believe we can do better in trying to recruit or enhance the people that own the building to get them to bring something in. But to use taxpayers' money down there, I don't agree with that. I believe that when it floods and everybody in Pine Bluff pay taxes, we can no longer just invest money in downtown. We must invest money in the neighborhoods to stop the flooding there as well. So it's my belief that we need to spend tax money all across Pine Bluff, just not downtown, because what downtown used to be would be hard to come back. And the truth to be told, and I was born in Helena, but the stories I've heard about downtown Pine Bluff, I would question any leader that would continually put, with a city of 75% black, continue to put all their tax money downtown.
Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. Mr. Mays, and then we'll hear from the mayor.
Let me give you when I see a taxpayer, we're all the taxpayers. So we're all investors in the city of Pine Bluff. You know, you have a right to say something about things going on. A lot of people don't say anything. But once again, collectively, you're a taxpayer. You're an investor in the city. I don't think we look at that all the time like we should. But you have a right to say something. If you don't think your tax right money is being spent, you need to go to the right people. Go to the right people. Go to the right people. As far as the downtown, I don't think that they're fixing the drainage down now with the urban renewal. I don't think until those buildings are torn down straight down Main Street, or either remodeled, restructured for the future, the streetscape is nothing. It's going to work totally now. Once you look at them buildings downtown, them buildings 200 years old. They are really older than Methuselah, you know. But now the mall, my son and his business partner purchased the movie theater in the mall, and they cleaned it up. They did a good job with it, and people are coming out. That's how you revitalize things. You got to have a vision. Some people in Pinellas are scared to go into their inner self and find their purpose. Everybody has a purpose on earth. The citizens of Pine Bluff, come on, we got to find our purpose. If you're selling clothes, good products bring people. Good products bring people. And I want you all to go to the movie theater in Pine Bluff, only one in Southeast Arkansas with 8 screens. Go in there and look at it. You got a good product here. Two black men, they saw a vision. When they first saw it, they saw it. And they say, hey, we're gonna make a difference. And they wanted to make a difference here in the city of Pine Bluff. My thing is, people with a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Find your vision. Find your purpose. Find your purpose. Find what you're here for and make it work. Bring people together to make your vision work. Put some legs up under your vision. That's what it's all about.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mayor.
Okay. Councilmember Mays, I continue to hear you say that your son purchased the movie theater at the mall. If they purchased the movie theater at the mall, why was it a few weeks ago they were evicted for not paying their rent? I don't quite understand that. Now, that was just a few weeks in the Pine Bluff newspaper.
I'll speak on that.
So, how are you evicted if you purchased the building? So, I feel like as we build downtown, as we revitalize the downtown community, we have to have a focus on the whole city as a whole. But downtown is kind of like your living room to your house. First place people want to go is to downtown. One of the things that we're trying to do as we move forward with the revitalization of downtown is not to make the mistakes that some cities made, like let's say North Little Rock with the Argenta District. They upgraded downtown, and then on weekends and nights there were no people. So then they had to build apartments, and now they're building houses in that downtown area. They're building condominiums and duplexes to bring the people in. If you go there now, it's buzzing with people. Even nights, the restaurants are full of people. So we're trying to do the same thing. We're big boxing some of the buildings downtown. We're working on two. We're looking at bringing housing downtown. So once you make it a mixed-use area, that's when you start the life. You bring the life into the environment, and that's our goal for downtown. One day we hope to have a downtown school. And schools are revitalizing downtown areas throughout the nation. They just put one in Sacramento, California. They have one in downtown Little Rock, East End. And they talk about how the life that has brought there. So that's one of our goals as we move downtown. So I feel like if we stay focused, if we continue to bring in businesses, and they are coming one storefront at a time, and we keep that happening, before we know it, we'll have a buzzing, revitalized, vibrant downtown. And I just believe that will happen.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mays, you have 30 seconds to rebut the statement about the movie
theater. Well, it's the movie theater in Pinellas is open. They took that place from a pit. It was a pit with roaches and rats in that movie theater. It had a bad reputation, and now it's open. The owner of the mall is jealous now because my son and his business partner went in and turned it around. They took a bad reputation and made a good reputation out of it. You don't get a bunch of Facebook posts now that's saying the movie theater is nasty and popcorn is nasty and dirty. It's clean now. Going the owner is jealous because she could try to run that movie theater by herself. They hired 12 young people to help in the movie theater. They're creating jobs. The popcorn is fresh. The candy is fresh. Now, the people in Pine Bluff, before they took it over, went in that movie theater and set up in there with rats and roaches, and it was nasty. They went up in there. Now it's a clean place, 100% clean constantly, and she's jealous. trying to she's jealous of two black men winning there and turning it around.
Thank you,
with a contract.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Now, we have about 10 minutes left in this forum, so we're going to try to speed it up so this question will be reduced to one-minute responses, and then, you know, at the end, we're going to give you a closing statement for about a minute as well. And this question will go to Mayor Washington. Can you speak to us about blighted conditions of Pine Bluff, abandoned homes, vehicles, and with the coming of spring and summer, overgrown lots? What are your plans, and how soon, if you are reelected, will you begin to fix these problems?
If I'm reelected, we're going to continue with some things that we have started, and that is, we've hit some snags in our code enforcement, but we're in the process of hiring a new code enforcement director at this time, and we're going to focus on the urban renewal area, which is an area that we're cleaning up. And then as we look at clearing out the blight, we're looking for investors to come in and build homes to do the infill as we move forward. So that's going to be critical as we move forward. We've already identified some blocks. These are blocks that have maybe one or two houses left on them that need to be demolished. And then they may have two houses or one. Well, there's one lot in particular, one block, that has one house that's it's in pretty good shape. So we will remodel that home to give it good curb appeal to match the new homes that we put on that block and start cleaning the city up and rebuilding the city, the neighborhoods, one block at a time. And if we can do more than one block, we'll do subdivisions at a time. And that's our goal.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mays. Yes.
Speaking of code enforcement, I got a call today about a house one morning, about a week ago. The house burned early in the morning. They pulled all the stuff out of the house, and the lady called me this morning about code enforcement. I called code enforcement. They went out there and looked at it, and they're going to start taking care of that. Now, Mayor Washington, they had a scandal in code enforcement about in January where the director borrowed $1,000 from a contractor, and she tried to cover it up from the citizens of Pine Bluff. Now, the police report is right here. And it was a big scandal where they was going for where you bid on a lot and you bid it up for $50, and the director was paying the guy $450 to $700. The paperwork is right here for cutting a lot, getting kickbacks in code enforcement. She's covered that up during this election, and the paperwork is right here. The police department said it was a bad thing. It says, this is from the detective, I then looked at the payments from this contractor. I was advised that pay a close attention to any payments over $150, $250. I found 9 payments to this lawn service in the amounts of $450 to $700 for grass cutting, and the bill was for $50 in our code. Now you wonder where the waste at in our code enforcement office while the blighted houses and things wasn't getting done. They was in there stealing money, and Mayor Washington tried to cover that up very well, but she didn't.
All right. Mr. Mays, Mayor, because he made those statements, we're going to allow you 30 seconds to rebut before we go to Mr. Whitfield.
There was some impropriety in the department. Mayor Washington never tried to cover it up. Mayor Washington ordered the investigation, and then discipline was adhered after. So there was never a cover-up at all. And I apprised all the council members of what was going on, did I not? And
after
I never, ever, when
after,
I found out
the
there was something. No. When it happened, I didn't. It wasn't after the fact. I kept you posted on what was going on throughout the process. And you're not the only council member. I did it for every council member. And I never tried to cover anything up. As soon as I found out there was something going wrong, I sent the man home on leave, ordered the investigation, and everything was disclosed. When he was terminated, that was disclosed as well. There was never any attempt to cover up.
All right. Now, Mr. Whitfield, the question was, and you got 1 minute to answer this, can you speak to us about blighted conditions in Pine Bluff, abandoned houses, vehicles, and with the coming spring and summer, and overgrown lots? What are your plans? How soon, if you're elected, will you begin to fix on these problems?
That's one of those things that would start occurring immediately. What has happened is we have reduced the strength of code enforcement, and we've increased the strength of urban renewal, allowing them to be the forefront of tearing down the homes. And in return, the bidding process is no longer allowed. So truly the companies here, and just so happened majority of them are black, that be it on the tearing down of the home, the way we're structuring it now, they no longer can have five or six homes to tear down at one time. The way that Urban Renewal have seeked to do it, they wanted to be the one to tear down themselves. And I think that's dangerous. We could have produced a plan of action that they both could do it at the same time, and giving both of them strength, it would have been much better. But anytime you give code enforcement $90,000 a year to tear down a home, tear down homes, and you give Urban Renewal same taxpayers' money, you give them $2.3 million to tear down a home, it's just not right. There's got to be a better system than that.
All right. Recently, the President of the United States signed a trade deal with China that is going to bring billions of dollars to the American economy. $50 billion of those dollars and more to come later will be coming to agriculture and to the farming industry. This is going to have a tremendous impact, creating tremendous opportunities for jobs and businesses. Pine Bluff is located in Jefferson County, and Jefferson County is located in the heart of rich agricultural area in the Arkansas Basin. What are you going to do to position Pine Bluff to take advantage of what could be tremendous opportunities as a result of billions of dollars coming into farming that could dramatically impact Pine Bluff because of Pine Bluff's location in Jefferson County in the heart of this rich agricultural area? Mr. Mays?
Well, a lot of farmers are not in the city. They're in the county now. It's a good thing that we continue to buy our meats locally that comes in, and that will increase revenue in our stores and our tax base. Now, other day I had some house shoes on, and I have had it for a while, and they tore up. Some told me look where they came from, and they came from China. Now, here locally, we can make those same products within people. We got to think vision, entrepreneurship, and make this thing happen. Okay, our people need to start sowing. Whatever in your heart to be an entrepreneur, you need to do it. Most of the products that we have over here come from China. Now, back to the farm families, we need to buy their products when they come into the store, continue to support them, find out, like the carpenters. We had the Goldmans. They just, you know, but we need to tie into these farmers a lot more. If we got family farmers, we need to tie into it.
Mayor Washington, you need me to repeat the question?
Will you please?
I will. Recently, the President of the United States signed a trade deal with China that is going to bring billions of dollars to the American economy. $50 billion of those dollars and more to come later will be coming to agriculture and the farming economy. This is going to have a tremendous impact, creating tremendous opportunities for jobs and businesses. Pine Bluff is located in Jefferson County, and Jefferson County is located in the heart of a rich agricultural area in the Arkansas Basin. What are you going to do to position Pine Bluff to take advantage of what could be tremendous opportunities as a result of billions of dollars coming into farming that could dramatically impact Pine Bluff because of Pine Bluff's location in Jefferson County, the heart of a rich agricultural area?
Well, I guess one of the first things we would have to do is to make sure our people are informed of this opportunity. And once they're informed, we could do somewhat of an assessment of many resources that we have, whether it be the agricultural land that people may own, that we could even start right there in the city with community gardens in town. We could also do an assessment of the warehouses that we have, because as a result of this agricultural, these dollars from agriculture coming in, we might could have houses for processing. And we do have some warehouses out on the port and other areas that are vacant. And so we need to clean those up, market them, showcase what we have so that they can come in with plants and factories for processing, and not only processing. We have some people who have acreage, 10 acres, 5 acres, and we'd have to look at what crops are in demand so that we could take advantage of some of those dollars. Put in those, it may be sweet potatoes. So one guy just may do the sweet potatoes. Another guy may do peas. Another guy may do corn. We don't know, but I think we need to first off do our research and then look at how we could position ourselves to be in a place to be able to take advantage of this grand opportunity.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Whitfield.
Thank you. I believe some years ago, City of Pine Bluff and Jefferson County teamed up together and they passed what they call the Penny for Progress. 5 8-cents came to the city, 3 8-cents went to the county. And it was used for incentive, but you had to be producing something. It has to be a production type plant or something of that nature. So my thinking would be that we summon those same individuals together to see if there's any incentive that they may meet with the 3 8-cent sales tax that's already sitting there in the bank that we cannot use because of the lack of the way that it was written up when it was passed. So I would be interested in seeing with the farmers producing crops or whatever it may be, if they hire so many people, would that qualify them for that? But I think the key to it is having some kind of incentive package to try to assure that some of our citizens in Pine Bluff be employed using UAPB as well as CEOC to make sure that we're trained to accomplish whatever it may be. Because now farming is not like it used to be years ago. You're just doing a crop. You must have some knowledge and skill of it. So training your people would be a big help to us.
All right, and thank you. And Mayor and members of the City Council, this is going to be our last question. After you answer this question, we're going to give you a one-minute opportunity to do your closing statements. And this question is, what kind of relationship and how often are you going to meet with pastors or representatives of the church as in Pine Bluff, like many cities, wrestle with serious social issues that we are faced with? So what type of relationship do you intend to either continue or to forge with the members of the clergy in this local community? And Brother Mays, we'll start with you. We'll go to Mr. Whitfield. We'll end with the mayor.
I have a good relationship with the pastors. I'm a minister myself. I want to continue to upgrade the conversations that the pastors are talking about when they come together. Not just come and preach to one another, but we need to talk about community involvement, community policing, youth, teenagers, senior citizens, what we're going to do to motivate our city. Once the prayer is over that morning, what we need to do is sit down and discuss. Once again, I've been to some meetings where nothing was discussed. It was just a meeting with capital letters. It was just a meeting. But when I want to sit down with our pastors and give some good grassroots and community involvement, not just going to each church and just pray. I may go to different churches and pray for our city, which is good, but at the same time, you the mayor, you have all the authority. You have all the authority. You're praying for the streets. I mean, get the street department out there and do that. Don't get me wrong, it's a good idea, but we need to do more. I'm a man of action, and I will always be a man of action. Let's make it happen. Let's do it. Less talk and more action.
Mr. Whitfield?
I think I remember the question. I have now a great working relationship with our preachers, pastors, and our community. Always have been able to have a conversation with them, whether it's dealing with police matters or referring some officers to them for counseling. We created a strong chaplain program. I believe that if we could have a quarterly meeting to discuss some of the concern. I think one of the problems is that we don't pull on the pastors until we have a major event in our community. Then we want them to come and want them to take action immediately. But my belief is if we meet quarterly to discuss the things that has really concerned our citizens, which is their members, it would be much better having an open relationship. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor?
We have a group that's meeting. We meet actually twice a month. The board meets 1 week, and then the overall group meets the other week. It's called the Pine Bluff Mission. And the Pine Bluff Mission is a group of pastors. We have probably 70 right now in that group. And we've divided it into pillars. You have one group of churches that may work on education initiatives. One may work on healthcare, and healthcare will include nursing homes, addressing the nursing homes. We have emergencies. I'm not going to list all of them, but let's say that if we have a a catastrophe in our city, like a tornado. We have a mission group that a part of that mission works on that, homelessness, and we're meeting and strengthening. We're even going into a group that builds houses. We have a warehouse that we are stocking with materials so that the First Assembly of God, not First Assembly, the church in Jefferson Square, they're building some houses, and we're expanding up on that so that churches can build houses, and we have materials for that. And then we have shops, workshops going, so that we're preparing people for home ownership and getting them into those houses at an affordable rate. So we will continue this process. We will build it. We will strengthen it so that it goes throughout the city. And what we're doing is breaking it down into wards. We have four wards in the city. So the churches that are located in that particular wards are the churches that will meet those needs in that ward. And so we're getting stronger and stronger each month. We have a few more pastors joining us, and we will continue to build on that Pine Bluff mission that we have in place.
Thank you, Mayor Washington. And I want to again thank Mayor Washington, Councilmember Mays, and Councilmember Whitfield for coming in and participating in this, the Pine Bluff Mayoral Candidates Forum on KJIW FM 94.5, which is broadcasting across the Mid-South in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Memphis, Tennessee, and on KCAT AM 1340, broadcasting in Jefferson County and Pine Bluff in particular. We thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedule campaign to come in for this particular occasion. We know early voting is underway. Election Day is March the 3rd, and we're encouraging each person to go out and participate in this election in choosing the mayor of Pine Bluff. We're going to have final remarks from each of these candidates, and we're going to allow 1 minute each. We're going to begin with Mr. Mays, followed by Mr. Whitfield, and we'll allow the mayor to close us out. And, of course, I'm James Valley, and I appreciate you all allowing me to moderate this forum. So at this time, we'll begin with Councilmember Mays.
Mr. Valley, thank you. Mr. Mundy, thank you. Mr. Pastor Bond, thank you. Yes, thank you all for this great opportunity. KCAT is a history building radio station in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Once again, thank you. It was here when I was a kid. It's still here now. I want one opportunity, citizens of Pine Bluff, to be your leader. I've been on the city council for 9 years, going on 10. I was born and raised in Pine Bluff. All I want is just one opportunity to showcase my leadership skills for the city of Pine Bluff. I will not let you down. You have my word. My platform is, I work for you, Pine Bluff. I want to upgrade. Then I want to renew, rebuild, and restore the great city of Pine Bluff. I've been up under three mayors, and what the mayors do when they first get in office, they focus on re-election. All the projects that are already on the table, set there for 3 or 4 more years. I want to hit the ground running, let this city move like it's supposed to. I will not be controlled by special bank interests and lawyers, city of Pine Bluff. I'll be my own man. I stand on my own 2 feet, and I have my own backbone. Once again, one opportunity, the citizens of Pine Bluff, to be your next mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mays. Mr. Whitfield?
First of all, I want to thank KCAT and you, Mr. Valley, for coming up, and Reverend Barnes for giving us this opportunity. It has been a blessed day. I am Ivan Whitfield. I'm asking those that are able to vote to please vote Ivan Whitfield, who would bring about change, better change for our community. I'm from Helena, and my campaign here in Pine Bluff is based on three songs that the old warriors sang years ago. The first song was Amazing Grace, and through his grace I have the strength to do this. The second song that the old people used to sing was Pray For Me. So I'm asking those citizens that hear our voice to please keep me in your prayers. The last song that the old warrior used to sing was Remember Me. I'm asking all that's able to vote, when you get to your sacred vote space, remember Ivan Whitfield for mayor of Pine Bluff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. Mayor Washington, if you will, give us your closing remarks.
Thank you. My mother realized that I was a leader when I was a kid at home, and whenever she wasn't around, she always left me in charge of the house because she knew that the kids in the house would be in good hands. I went into a classroom for 22 years. I was a classroom teacher. I was the most requested teacher in the school at my grade level. because all the parents knew that if their kids were in my classroom, they were in good hands. I became a principal for my last 16 years, and my school was the most requested school in the district where I worked at that grade level, because all the parents knew that if their kids were in my school, and it was also for teachers, they requested to work in my school. They knew they were in good hands. I think the citizens in Pine Bluff, from the progress that has been shown in the city of Pine Bluff over the last 3 years, shows that the city is in good hands if Shirley Washington is elected and continued to be elected to serve as mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I thank each of the three of you. I think you all have done a good job putting forth your plans for the citizens of the city of Pine Bluff, and certainly now it is in their hands to decide in which direction they will go. And at this point, we're going to ask Reverend Barnes for a closing prayer, and then we will sign off. Reverend Barnes, if you would, close us out.
Father God, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity that you have granted us to share and interact together. We pray, O Master, everything that has been said and done, not only be for the upgrading of Pine Bluff, but for the upgrading of thy kingdom. We ask a blessing upon each one of these candidates, and that your will be done. It's in our Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, and goodbye to our listeners. We appreciate you for tuning in.